In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Of the many great adventures of Frog and Toad, the beloved children's book series written by Arnold Lebel, one of my favorites has become The Garden. In this story, Frog, ever the sensible one, lends Toad, ever the insensible one, some seeds so he can start his own garden, cautioning him, though, that gardening is very hard work. Toad plants the seeds and expects them to grow immediately. "Now seeds," says Toad. "Start growing." Toad walks up and down a few times. The seeds do not start to grow. So Toad puts his head close to the ground and says loudly, "Now seeds, start growing." The seeds do not start to grow. And Toad then puts his head very close to the ground and says, "Now seeds, start growing." Frog comes running up the path to see what's the matter. And he realizes it's just Toad being impatient. He says, "Relax, you're frightening the seeds." So that night, assuming that the seeds are afraid to grow, Toad brings out candles and a book to keep them company all night long so they will not be afraid in the dark. Then all the next day he sings songs to his seeds, and all the next day he reads poems to his seeds, and all the next day he plays music for his seeds. And eventually, exhausted, Toad falls asleep. "Toad, Toad, wake up," says Frog. "Look at your garden." Toad looks at his garden, and lo and behold, the seeds have sprouted. "At last," shouts Toad, "my seeds have stopped being afraid to grow." "And now you will have a nice garden too," says Frog. "Yes," said Toad, "but you were right, Frog. It was very hard work." This morning we have a whole set of gardening parables. One from the Old Testament, two from the New Testament. And in all those cases, we are encountering the mystery that is the growth of a seed from a tiny nothing into a splendid something as a metaphor for God's promised activity in this world. In our reading from Ezekiel, God is speaking to the people of Israel who are in exile. They have been captured and brought under Babylonian rule. They have been driven out of their beloved homeland, and their temple has been destroyed. Things are bleak. And it is into that bleakness that Ezekiel channels God and writes, "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar, and I will set it out in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it." God's promised restoration of the fortunes of the people of Israel is encapsulated in this little sprig turning into a noble tree. And then in Mark, we have two back-to-back short gardening parables attempting to capture the enigmatic nature of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how." And the second, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." The coming of the kingdom of God is mysterious, like the sprouting of a seed. We know not how it comes to be. And it is also surprising, since we can scarcely imagine its full glory from just looking at that seed. God's subterranean activity, that's outside our understanding and our senses, but ongoing all the same. That's what these gardening parables are trying to tell us this morning. And it's an important message to deliver because the promise of the kingdom of God, the promise of God's restoration of the people of Israel, these are some of the most beautiful promises extended to us in the scriptures. A vision for the world that is rid of pain and enmity and strife. The war, the anger, the hopelessness, the despair. It is a kingdom of justice and of peace and of love, of unity. A kingdom so comforting and so expansive that all the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Jesus is offering us a vision for the world that is so much more wonderful than the world we have right now. And he says, this is the world as God created it to be, the world that God longs for it to be again. That's an inspiring vision, I hope. But when God says the world could be like that, we can get impatient, like Toad. We want that world now. If the world could be that wonderful, well, why isn't it yet? Let's make it happen. Now, seeds, start growing. And our impatience can lead us to the misunderstanding that the growth of the seeds, the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, will be accomplished by our own extraordinary efforts. But these gardening parables, be it Ezekiel or Jesus who are speaking, emphasize very clearly it is God who gives the growth, not us. We don't even know how it happens, Jesus said. But that does not mean that we are passive bystanders in the creation of God's kingdom. If we aren't the ones to turn the seeds from seeds into flowers, then we are the ones, we could be the ones, who can create the conditions for that growth to take place. Toad, like any gardener, is responsible for the planting and the nurturing and the tending of the garden, not for the actual growth of their plant, and definitely not for making sure they are not afraid. It is not our job to make the kingdom happen. It is our job to help the kingdom happen. And that is a subtle but important difference. If we think we are, by our own power alone, going to dismantle structures of inequality and oppression and violence and rid the world of division and discord so that justice and mercy and love can flower across the earth, we are fooling ourselves. That work is too big for us to accomplish on our own. The reign of God will only be fully realized if it is grounded in the power of God, not in the power of human beings. And if we are committed to giving God a chance to do God's work of transformation in the world. I think this is a helpful articulation of what the work of the church could be. We can cultivate gardens for God to go about his work of growth. We can create spaces of love and peace and safety and transcendence so that God's seeds will be given the space they need to flourish. Whereas with most gardeners who couldn't give you a scientific explanation of how seeds go from seed to flower, they know what they need to grow. The same is true of the kingdom. We're not exactly sure how it comes about. How people's hearts are turned to compassion, or their feet to justice, or their minds come to faith. But we know what conditions allow for such growth to take place: prayer and worship, communities of respect and kindness and equality, communities of love. And that's what we in the church can spend our energy creating, gardens of grace for God's seeds of glory to sprout. If we can create those kind of gardens, then the promise is that God will give the growth. What the story of Toad and his garden teaches us about seeds is ultimately the same message that Ezekiel and Jesus are asking us to believe about God, that God is at work bringing about the kingdom, bringing it to fruition. Sometimes with us, sometimes in spite of us, but always for us. As the church and as individual members of it, we can participate in that work by creating communities and conditions for those seeds to take root, but we can't make them grow. That can be really frustrating at times. And we may get impatient because the seeds of the kingdom don't necessarily sprout on our timeline, but there is also a deep and lasting comfort in the belief that they will indeed, by the grace of God, sprout one day. And we can rest in that beloved promise that if we stand and work on the side of justice and love and mercy and peace, we will one day be standing in a garden full of blossoms of blessedness. There's a great hymn in our hymnal that we don't sing too often, but the text captures what I'm trying to communicate about the necessary faith, the appropriate kind of hard work, and the inexhaustible patience that we need to bring about this kingdom of God. It reads, "God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out, and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. All we can do is nothing worth unless God blesses the deed. Vainly we hope for the harvest tide till God gives life to the seed. Yet nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." The seeds of love and of peace and of justice and of mercy, the seeds of the kingdom have been planted in this world from its creation. It is up to us to create spaces and places for those seeds to flourish. And Frog is right. It is very hard work. It will require us to be incredibly active, incredibly patient, and incredibly faithful all at the same time, like any good gardener might be. So let us take up our charge with vigor, trusting that God is working his purpose out, and with our help, nearer and nearer draws the time when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Amen.